Shalakaya, Chakshurun Milikina, Tasmai, Shivurinaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhulitananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shiva, Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, translation, whoever's going to translate for in Hungarian should go there. Aki magyarul fog, kinek kell a fordítás, aki nem tudom ki fordít. Sipeti szervezem, vagy valaki szervezem, nem kell nekem szervezni. Okay, so this is sort of the last and part of the truthfulness seminar, and it's going to be relatively brief because we have to have some meetings and then move on to Croatia. And it's very interesting. I've just since the last presentation, I've been in meetings and had discussions with devotees, and it's very interesting how this issue of truthfulness or honesty or the lack of truthfulness actually just occurs in everyday life. No one really, or not many devotees really, connect with it. The way in which we pass on communication. For instance, there's, in English, it's called Chinese whispers. I don't know what it's called in Hungarian. You know what Chinese whispers are? You know what Chinese whispers are in English. You just have like 10 people and sit in a circle, and one person whispers something to that person, the next person, and that person whispers the same thing to that one, and in other words, shows what happens to the parampara, and it comes around to the 10 people, and then you see what the 10th person says in comparison to what the first person says. So truthfulness is not even necessarily something that we voluntarily change the truth. Evam parampara praptam sakalini hamata yoganasta. So Krishna says that even in the parampara, in the line of the cyclic succession, the actual content becomes lost. In other words, it's no longer what was originally given by Krishna. And therefore he has to come and reestablish that. So it's very interesting. It's a very similar phenomena that will sometimes take place in our meetings, is that something is said, and by the time it gets repeated the next time, what to speak of 2-3 times down the road, there's a whole different, it has a whole different message, it gives different information, it has a different value. People become valued completely differently, or why someone did something completely changes with as many times as a person, people actually repeat it. And that's unfortunate because our whole business is parampara, which means that nothing changes. And you can just imagine the quality of how this worked, because in Vedic culture, nothing was written down. And there were systematic checks and balances to ensure that that came across. So nowadays, what do we do to ensure truthful communication? We write it down. And that's something that you can all keep in mind in terms of interactions and different types of settings, is that if you really want to make sure that what someone told you or something else is really happens the way it was, get it written down. If it's not written down, it will change. The same person, when they recall what they said, they will say something different. I didn't say that. I'm sure it's happened to you. But you knew that they did say that, but you've got nothing to prove it anymore because it's not written down. So it's a real issue. One thing is this other concept of voluntarily people lying, people making things up, people changing things, or different aspects that we have that have an impact on society. It has an impact on how we inherit the world and how we pass the world on. And another is just something that's involuntarily because we're conditioned souls and we make mistakes. And one of the mistakes we make is that we forget things, we change things, and even though I may have said something to someone, next time that I'm trying to recall that, it's no longer the same. So if we want to have actually this honest lifestyle, this thing, if you want to avoid speculation, aside from the different ways in which we discussed this earlier, write it down. Then there's no argument. It's down in black and white. There's still room for argument, even though it's written down, because what does it actually mean? So, you know, we have Bhagavad Gita is written down. What does the Bhagavad Gita mean? Well, my Vaidis say it means one thing, and we say it means something else. So ultimately, nothing is a guarantee of perfect transmission of information or perfect expression of thought. But anyway, we're in the material world, and that we're not going to change. But at least we should try to get the best. And we shouldn't gamble. And we talked about gambling, not so much devotees going to a casino or things like that, but rather gambling, meaning depending on our own sensory perception, our own conditioned nature, our own limitations, to be something that establishes how we think, how we speak, how we act. To be in accord with reality means you have to be in accord with what Krishna says. Krishna is the only reality, and everything separate from Krishna is illusion. And of course, everyone knows that. The question whether how seriously we actually accept that is something else. Because even though we know it, we don't necessarily do it. Krishna says, your bodily identifying with this body is maya, it's illusion. But still, we make so many concessions to this body in a transition through moving along. Household or life is a concession. Varnashram is a concession. It's meant to be a concession that frees us from bodily identification. But still, we have to make we're making a compromise along the way. So, truthful life has real benefits. And sattvam sanjayate jnanam. The mode of goodness means knowledge, and being in the mode of goodness means being happy. Overall, what is the benefit of a truthful life? Is it clear? What is the benefit of a truthful life? You'll be happy. You'll be spiritually happy. And the benefits means that what you act upon or how we think, etc., is value-based. The values are what Krishna says. Ultimately, that's what our values. Now, this concept of value-based life is not something novel. It's not something novel to us. Other materialistic people have value-based. Humanists, who are real avowed atheists, are also value-based. But their values are very subjective. Uh, and their values change. Different religions also are value-based. And generally, their values are also based on what their scriptures teach. It's also based on scripture. And we're value-based, and our values are based on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I don't know if any of you have ever seen evangelical Christian pastors preaching. Anyone ever see them give a lecture? It's worth it to see it. Just because these people, aside from that they're very good speakers, they're very impassioned speakers, but they know the Bible backwards and forwards. They know it inside out. That was the point that I was emphasizing, because Prabhupada said that we should know the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita just the way that Christians know the Bible. Because if you don't know the Bhagavatam, then you don't know what the values of the Bhagavatam are. And there are sometimes apparently contradictory statements. There are also sometimes graded statements, like there are different values for different types of people. Those need to be assimilated, digested, and worked out to what is a life formula, because we know values for brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, some are common, and some are very, very different. So, but it has to be all based on Bhagavatam. And that's why Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The whole idea is that one has to be constantly absorbed in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So a real truthful life is Bhagavatam based. And when we move away from that, then we're fooling ourselves that we're actually practicing Krishna consciousness. You become, and this is very much a sort of a modern, in vogue, new age thing, is have faith in yourself, have confidence in yourself. But then you can have faith in yourself. You can really have faith in yourself when you're living the Bhagavatam, because, you know, just like in one conversation, or there are several conversations where Srila Prabhupada, in a conversation, Srila Prabhupada said something to the tune of, in Jaipur, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj took sannyas, and there were so many people coming to touch Prabhupada's feet. And Prabhupada said, you know why they're doing this? Because they know that I'm beyond material attachment. Specifically, Prabhupada said, because I'm above attachment to sex life. And then Prabhupada elsewhere said, he says, I know I can argue with anyone because I know that I cannot be defeated, because I repeat what Krishna says. Therefore, no one can defeat me. So you get a lot of self-confidence and you get self-respect, not on an egoistic basis, because everything is connected to Krishna. So it's our self-confidence, and when Krishna's out of the picture, self-confidence and self is just another aspect of false ego. It's just illusion. There's nothing to be confident about and nothing to respect the fact that we're here in the material world in Maya. What's to be confident about? But when you're connected with Krishna and you're on the path back home, back to Godhead, and you have imbibed values that come from Krishna, that becomes really valuable. And other people respect you. What, of course, devotees, it's a natural thing. But even outside devotional circles, just in Srila Prabhupada's example, and we have that same thing. Even people who don't share our values, even people who have another view on life that we do, but they very much respect when you really fix in your connection with reality. So when we're in tune, what's the word? Into accord. When we're accord with reality, it resonates. it resonates. It's like nice music, and it resonates in people's heart, and they feel good about that. Relationships become very substantial because of now, say, talking among the devotees, because devotees know that I can trust this person because as much as I trust Krishna, I can trust him or her. So it becomes a real basis for relationships. And that's when you get community. And you've heard me say this before, community is not just many devotees. Because community means you have to have things in common. That's what the English word community means. People who are living in common. It's like a commune, same thing. So what do you have in common? You have to have in common that your values are the same as your neighbor's values. And that's what New Brajadham is about. So that's what missionary life is about. Same values. Because, you know, there's enough devotees here in Hungary. They know that just because someone believes in Krishna doesn't mean that they have the same values. They have different values. So New Brajadham is about devotees who have the same values. The same values in terms of not just believing in Krishna, because that's not there, but lifestyle, in terms of possessions, that we may have, in terms of whether we should actually even be owners or not owners. So these are the more values, and you know there are a lot. The more the values are in common, the more number of things that are in common, the stronger the community becomes, and the more you have a community. So we need to cultivate that truthfulness. If you remember, this is a continuation of that part of the presentation where we said that in some sense we're not responsible for our lack of truthfulness because we're conditioned by the material world. What to speak of, we're very much conditioned by Kali Yuga. And we're conditioned by the society that we're born into. And we're hoping, and that's the benefit of our successive generations, that children are not conditioned like we are. And that's a very important thing that parents need to keep in mind. If you pass on the same values that you picked up from your parents to your children, as opposed to passing on the values, for instance, that Prabhupada and Bhagavatam gave, then they're going to be in the same type of handicap that we're in. So they need to imbibe a whole different set of values. I don't know if any of you saw yesterday, I saw Premamoya sent me a video of this Russian school, which is, I was interested to see because he said it's something like Gurukula, where it's really far from Gurukul, because they're nationalists, and more or less from what I can see, they're not certainly not very spiritual, even though there may be some religious element in there. But one interesting thing, this is in Russia, the boys bathe in the morning in the stream, summer and winter. So values, other people have values of bathing, and we need to be able to ensure that for our next generation, for the children, we're giving them different, not the values we got from our parents, not how we got brought up, not what Dr. Spock teaches, not what the world around us teaches, but actually the values that Bhagavatam teaches. And, of course, the basis for that is the Bhagavad Gita.